Let's continue reading verses 10 through 18 of John chapter 5. In these verses, we have the reaction of the Jews to the Lord's healing of the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 5, verse 10. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Once again, some background notes, first of all. You would think that the Jewish leaders here would have been amazed and would have glorified God for this great miracle that they've just witnessed. The healing of a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. This man was a well-known fixture at the Pool of Bethesda there in Jerusalem. But now all of a sudden, he's completely healed. But what's the reaction? The self-righteous Jewish leaders did not give glory to God. Instead, they found fault because it was done on a Sabbath day. As far as they were concerned, their man-made Sabbath laws had been broken, and this was wrong. The Lord was at fault. Notice they find fault with both the Lord Jesus and the man who was healed. In verse 10, we read, "The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed.'" Now, God's law did not say you couldn't carry a bedroll on the Sabbath. God's law said that the Sabbath was set aside for rest and worship of God, and therefore you were not to work on the Sabbath like you worked on the other days of the week. But you see, over the years, the Jews had misinterpreted God's law of the Sabbath and added their own man-made laws and traditions, so that by the time of Christ, they were saying that carrying a bedroll was carrying furniture, and therefore it was work. Well, we see in verse 11 that the healed paralytic rises above such man-made legal trivia and says to the Jews, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" In other words, if Jesus had the power to heal him after 38 years of paralysis, then he ought to be obeyed. Right on thinking. In verse 16, we see that the Jews also found fault with the Lord Jesus because he had healed on the Sabbath. Verse 16 again. "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath." You know, it seems that the Lord purposely healed this man on the Sabbath to force these ridiculous man-made Sabbath rules out into the open. We know that the Lord did this on other occasions as well. Here again, the Jews had added to the law of God. The law prohibited menial work on the Sabbath, but not acts of necessity or acts of mercy. You remember the Lord said to the Pharisees, Luke chapter 14 and verse 5, "Which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. They knew that the law did not prohibit acts of mercy on the Sabbath. One more background note. Some commentators find fault with the healed man in verse 15 because he went and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well, and they believe the man is squealing. I don't see it that way at all. I believe the man is giving credit where credit is due to the power of the Lord Jesus. Well, what about doctrinal points from this section of John chapter 5? Doctrinal point number one. There is something worse than physical problems. There is something worse than physical problems. Look back again at verse 14. In verse 14, we read that the Lord found the healed man in the temple area. Most likely he's there in the temple area because he's giving praise to God. And the Lord said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now, what did the Lord mean by that statement? There is a good possibility that this man's disability had been the result of some particular sin in his life as a young man. Now, before we go further, let's make it clear that the Bible does not teach that every time a person has a physical problem or disability, it's because they committed some sin. In fact, when the disciples raised that very question in reference to the man born blind in John chapter 9, I'm reading John 9 verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, having said that, we can go further or say, however, the Bible does teach that there can be disciplinary sickness. Some physical problems are the direct result of sin. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, the Corinthians who had sinned were told that, "For this cause, many are sick among you, and some sleep." Some had actually been taken home to heaven. They died. So there is disciplinary sickness. So in view of what the Lord said to this man in verse 14, it may be that his paralysis was the result of sin. But notice what the Lord says to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." What could be worse than 38 years of paralysis? Well, certainly hell could be worse. And that may be indeed what the Lord is referring to here. In other words, the Lord said to him, "Sin no more." That is, live your life now as a godly, obedient, and faithful believer. Then you will be assured of heaven when you die and not hell. What a horrible thing it would be for this man to be healed physically, but then live a life of sin and never become a true believer and end up in hell. There is something worse than physical problems. Most people, of course, today think that the worst things in life are physical handicaps and suffering and pain and physical problems. Not so. An eternal destiny in hell is far worse. There is something worse than physical problems. Doctrinal point number two. God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. When the Jewish leaders accused the Lord of working on the Sabbath, he answered them in verse 17, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Now, the Lord was making two points with that statement. First of all, he was claiming to be God, a claim that the Jews did not miss, as we see from verse 18. "Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." The other point that the Lord was making there in verse 17 was that God worked on the Sabbath, and certainly God would not be guilty of breaking his own laws. That is, God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. God's natural laws, such as gravity and healing, do not stop working on the Sabbath. Think of such a scenario. Suppose the universal law of gravitation stopped on the Sabbath. I mean, the world would be up for grabs. Suppose you cut yourself on a Saturday. You'd bleed to death before healing began the next day. Aren't you glad that God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath? That's exactly the point the Lord is making there in verse 17. "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." That's his return. When they say, "Hey, you've broken the Sabbath," that's his return. He's basically saying God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. Therefore, it was not wrong for the Lord to heal on the Sabbath, because God's work does not stop on the Sabbath. God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. God's work of creation came to an end when he rested on the seventh day of creation week. And we know from Hebrews 4 that that rest was not broken. But God's work of preservation continues to operate. In Colossians 1:17, we read that in Christ, all things consist or hold together. That's God's work of conservation or preservation. God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. Now, I've got a few minutes for practical application, but let me just extend that doctrinal point just a little bit further, because you'll sometimes read commentaries that kind of say, well, God rested from his work, but then it was broken because of sin. I don't think that's the way you want to look at it. God's work of creation was complete on the seventh day. He rested. That rest was never broken. I think Hebrews 4 makes it very clear. That rest continues. We can enter that rest. But his work of preservation, as well as his work of redemption and so forth, those are other aspects of God's work. And God's work of preservation continues. Praise the Lord, it continues. God's work of preservation does not stop on the Sabbath. What about practical application from this section of John chapter 5? Practical application number one, don't forget to follow up new believers. Don't forget to follow up new believers. In verse 14, we see that the Lord went and found the man he had healed. This was going to be a follow-up session. Well, we need to follow the Lord's example here. Don't forget to follow up new believers. Tomorrow, we're starting a new semester at Emmaus Bible College. I especially enjoy teaching students who are new believers. For them, every class is like a follow-up session, and it's a joy to see them grow and mature in the faith. Do you know any new Christians? Don't forget to follow up new believers. I told Margie as we were driving back from camp, man, I can't wait to get back in the classroom again. I love the thrill of students coming in all excited, particularly new believers. It's just a thrill. Don't forget to follow up new believers. Practical application number two. Do you live by man-made rules or God-made rules? Do you live by man-made rules or God-made rules? We see in this account that the Jewish leaders judged the Lord as well as the healed man by their man-made rules, not by God-made rules. Is it possible that we do the same thing, maybe without even realizing it? How do we analyze the spirituality of fellow believers, for example? By what translation of the Bible they read? By what kind of clothes they wear? By what kind of musical instruments they play? Let's be careful. Let's not make the mistake of confusing man-made rules with God-made rules. Let's each one of us ask ourselves that question this morning as we close. Do I live by man-made rules or God-made rules?